Good day, brothers and sisters in Christ. And here we are once again in the CMI School of Christ. And this class, once again, is called The Purpose for the Soul. And I'd like to just continue this class. And before I do, I really would like to just ask those two questions that I like to always ask before every class, because I never know who's watching the class. The first question is, are you born again? And these questions are paramount. New birth is the beginning of purpose. The soul of man was created for one purpose. New birth is the beginning of that purpose. If you are not born again, you must be born again. You can say, well, I'm not born again and I'm doing a fine job of doing this or that. Well, that's fine. You can do whatever you want, but your soul was created for a purpose. And that purpose is the appearing of Christ. New birth is the beginning of that purpose, where life appears where there was no life before. He who has the Son has the life. And of course, for those of you who are born again, my question is this. Are you knowing the life you have received? Is the life in you, let me put it this way. Is the light of that life, that very life that is in you, appearing, dawning? And this is, of course, Christ Himself having His appearing, Christ Himself being revealed, the indwelling Christ who is currently present within the soul of the one who is born again, being revealed of the Father, being uncovered, that we, with the eyes of our soul, would behold the salvation of God. And this is very important, because this is specifically the purpose for which our soul was created. There's no other purpose. Yes, we can do all these different things. We can serve the Lord. We can read the Bible. We can do all these things. But our soul was created for one purpose, and that is the appearing of Christ. Okay? I'm not sure if in this class, but in the following class, at the main verse that declares that, that's Acts 26:16, and you can check that out. And if you have the availability of different Bible translations, I would look at it in the James Murdoch translation of the Syriac Peshitta. I would check it out in that translation, because after studying that verse for the longest time, that's the clearest way of declaring that verse, I believe, from what I've seen of the Lord in it. Okay, so let's continue with our class, The Purpose for the Soul. And this class is, we're going to begin mainly with an emphasis on the testimony. And you may ask, well, what part does the testimony play? I believe we've already covered a little bit of the testimony in previous classes, but it is the testimony, and only the testimony, that will birth in our heart an expectation to behold the substance of which the Scripture speaks, of which the Scripture testifies. The Scripture, John 5:39, Jesus speaking to the religious leaders, He said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." In the Scriptures themselves. And then He goes on to say, "And the Scriptures, they are they that testify of Me." They are declaring, they are testifying of life, the life I am. So, the testimony produces in our hearts that expectation to behold that life. All right? If we go to the Scripture and come out with some other expectation, then we are misusing the Scriptures. We are falsely applying the Scripture. The Scriptures have one purpose, to testify of Christ. The testimony of Christ, the testimony has one purpose, to birth in our soul the expectation to behold that very Christ, and to help facilitate that in our hearts. Okay, and I'm not sure if I covered that in a previous class or not, but if not, we will be covering it and possibly a little more detail. But going on with the testimony, this is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through 18. And this is just speaking a little bit concerning the turning of the heart and the beholding of Christ. All right. And this is Paul, and he's using the example of Moses. Moses, when he went up to the mountain of God to speak with God, Mount Sinai, to speak with God, and then he would come back down to the people and he'd speak to the people. And right here, Paul's specifically talking about those Jews who are not born again, and that their heart must turn, that they would be birthed of God, born again. But also, it's the same, what shall we say, the same principle, the same spiritual law, the heart. It's when the heart turns that the veil is removed, okay? All right, so beginning with verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, when the law is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. He goes on, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And here's verse 18. But we all that Paul is speaking of is the we all in Christ whose hearts have turned to see the Lord, to behold the Lord. We all who have no veil over our heart any longer. Okay, verse 18. But we all with open face, that means an unveiled face, an unveiled heart, an unveiled soul, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. I didn't continue to print that verse out, but let's just go ahead and look at it. It continues on, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There you have it. Nowhere else will you find the glory of God except in the face of Jesus Christ. And it is God, as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so he hath shined in our hearts. The light hath dawned. The day hath dawned. The light hath appeared. The light of life hath appeared. Okay, and another way of saying it is Christ has been revealed at that point. Okay, the indwelling Christ has been revealed. All right, now I do want to say this about that passage right there. Only in the turning of the heart is the soul transformed. And I know that religion declares automatics. That's what the religion declares. Do this, don't do that. Act this way, don't act that way. Think this way, don't think that way. Be like Jesus, basically. And don't be like yourself. That's what religion declares. Do this and don't do that. Well, those are automatics. See, at new birth, I believe we already covered this, at new birth, immediately what happens is that Christ comes into his temple and everything that is not him is put out. Immediately. The second life appears, death is taken out. All right? Now, the thing is that we are ignorant to that which has taken place in our soul. Here is where the light of that life must come into play. Here is where the revealing of that life must come into play. The fact is the majority of Christendom, we are ignorant of the indwelling Christ. Therefore, we act contrary, please listen, we act contrary to our life. Our life who is Christ. We think we have some other life. We think we have some other existence, but that's not so. It is not so. If you're born again, Christ is your life. You must see the life you have received. You must see your life. You must know your life. Okay? That your life must appear. The light of your life must appear. Okay? All right. All is automatic of beholding Christ. When the light of life appears, when the day dawns in your heart, please listen to the verses, the passages, when the day dawns in your heart, when the Lord says, let there be light, and there is light, then out from that, there is knowing. You instantly know who is in the temple. You instantly know who is in the house. You instantly know whose body you are. You instantly know your life. All these things are automatics. You are, as this verse was saying in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let's go back to that. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, we all whose hearts have turned to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, whose hearts, nevertheless, when the heart shall turn, the veil shall be removed. We all, whose hearts have turned, who have no veil, unveiled face, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Transformed, and see, transformation is an automatic, but it's not like the person's going to change right then and there. No, in their hearts, they become aware of the change that has taken place at new birth. Remember? At new birth, life appears where there was no life before. Immediately, Christ is in his temple. He alone is in his temple. He alone remains. There is the immediate change. When that life is revealed, when we see the life that is present, the indwelling Christ that is present, then we no longer bear the image of the old, but we bear the image of the indwelling Christ. We bear the image of Christ himself. We become aware of the change that has already taken place. It was like Jacob, and we may look at that verse. We may have already even covered the verse. Jacob lays his head on a rock, goes to sleep, and at nighttime he has a dream. He sees the angels of the Lord ascending and descending. He wakes up in the morning and he says this, "The Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Surely this is the house of God, because the Lord was in this place and I knew it not." He saw, and right there it's typed, it's shadowed. The Lord was revealed. It's a type, it's a shadow of Christ being revealed in the soul. And you the same declaration, it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me, right? Who is living in this house. This is the house of God. Okay. So let's go on a little bit further. And out from that, everything's automatic, as I was saying. Everything is automatic. We bear the image of Christ. We bear the image of the risen man versus bearing the image of the corruptible man. We bear the image of the incorruptible man versus bearing the image of the corruptible man. We bear the image of Christ versus bearing the image of the old. Okay, let's go on to my notes. The entire Old Testament has one object in view. This is Christ. The entire Scripture has one object in view. This is Christ. No other object. For in the heart of God, there is no other object. In the Father's heart, he has one object. There is one object of his affection. It is his beloved Son. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No other object. All right. So, in the Scriptures, in the Old Covenant, God testified of his Christ, nothing less. The Scriptures are a testimony. That's what Jesus said, John chapter 5, verse 39. "They are they that testify of me." Had you believed Moses, further on down in that passage, had you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. God testified of his Christ, nothing less. If there is a promise, God promised his Christ. If there is righteousness, God testified of Christ in the term righteousness. If there is a kingdom, God testified of his Christ in the term kingdom. And it goes on and on and on. God promised his Christ. He didn't promise a righteousness apart from the substance who Christ is. He did not promise a glorious day apart from the day who Christ himself is. He did not promise a creation apart from the new creation which Christ himself is the substance of. He did not promise a kingdom apart from the substance of Christ, who is the substance of that kingdom. He did not promise love. You can go on. He did not promise peace. He promised the substance. And these terms were to testify and do testify of that very substance, that very Christ. Each term, each of those things, those terms of the old covenant, of the scriptures, testify of one, of Christ. Okay? So God testified of his Christ, nothing less. The scriptures testify of his Christ, nothing less. Now, all Israel, and we're going to be looking in a passage in Luke, up to the point where Jesus showed up on the scene, all Israel was in expectation for the appearing of the Messiah, the Christ. They were in expectation for the appearing of the Messiah, the Christ. They were in expectation. They submitted to the scripture. They obeyed to whatever degree the scripture, and in their hearts was birthed an expectation to behold this Christ. They were in expectation to behold this Christ. And I did cover it in another class. It might have been the last class, but I read a commentary one somewhere, and they basically said this, that the greatest good of an Israelite, of a Jew, of a Hebrew, would be to see him, to see the Lord, to see him in whom their lifetime they served. That is the greatest good. That would be their greatest good, like the greatest apex, would be to see him in whom their lifetime they served. Okay, so here's the whole situation. All Israel is in expectation. All right? Now, let's just look at that. This is... I'm looking at it with Simeon and Anna in the temple. And this is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. And we're just going to look at this passage here, and we're going to look at a couple of terms in this passage that make the world of difference. That make the world of difference, okay? And all this is because it is the testimony that births in our heart the expectation to behold the substance of which the scripture testify. So when we read the scripture and we read of a lamb that is slain, right, in the book of Exodus, take now a lamb and slay the lamb, kill the lamb, place the blood on the doorpost and lentils, right? So when we read of this lamb and we begin to, you know, search the scriptures and we come across these terms, in our hearts, if we do not resist, but if we yield to the working of the testimony found in the scripture, to the Holy Spirit, which testifies of Christ, if we yield, all right, if we are finally overcome by the Spirit of God, all right, then in our hearts is birthed this expectation, not to see I'll say it this way, not to see physically this lamb that we have seen in the scripture, right? We've just beheld the lamb in the scripture, and we have seen that this lamb, it testifies of this Christ, this substance. It testifies of the substance who Christ is, the true Lamb of God. Then it births in our hearts the expectation, Lord, reveal that Lamb in me. Reveal your Christ. As I see him here in the testimony, he dwells in me. He's the indwelling Christ because I am born again. Reveal that one in me that I may know him as the true Lamb of God. Okay? That it births the expectation in the heart, okay? But pre-cross, before the cross, it still birthed an expectation in their hearts, but it was from without, from afar. Okay? That's the difference. There's a huge difference. In the Old Covenant, it was from without, from afar. Yes, there were those who saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to them, but it was from without. It was from afar. They were one place. The Lord was somewhere else. Okay? Now, for us who are born again, the Spirit of God dwelleth in us who are born again. The very Christ dwelleth in us who are born again. Okay? Now, the same expectation is birthed in our heart, but now it is to behold the indwelling Christ. That the indwelling Christ may be revealed, that we may behold the one who has been there since new birth. Okay? The one who is abiding, the one who continues, the one who dwells in the soul since new birth. Okay? Alright, so let's go on. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, look at that. Before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Remember? An expectation to behold. Okay, verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, this is the substance, though he's a child, it is the substance of which the testimony speaks, of which the scripture testify. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This was the apex for Simeon. In his mind, I must continue. I must go on. I must see the salvation of God. I must behold. There was in his heart birth and expectation. He must. It must come to fulfillment. Okay? Going on. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. The glory of thy people Israel. There's no other glory except the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other glory than the Messiah of God, than the Christ of God. He is the very glory of God, right? The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where do you find the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. Okay. And verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. Okay, now that's Simeon. Now verse 36, we're going to begin with Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him. She declared him. She didn't declare anything less than him. Spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Who were looking. Who were desiring to behold. Who were looking for. Who had an expectation for redemption in Israel. She spake of him. Okay. Remember the scripture, the purpose of the scripture is to testify of Christ. The testimony of Christ births in our heart an expectation to behold that very substance of which the scripture speaks. All right. Let me mark this down real quick. So I don't lose my place. All right. Just a couple of terms to look at that that I'd really like for us to look at. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Okay, that's the passage we're looking at, verse we're looking at. And this is in the Interlinear Transliterated Bible by BibleSoft. Okay. The first term that I want us to look at is just. Speaking of Simeon, he's a just and devout man. The same was just and devout. Okay, this term just is Strong's number 1342, and I think the Greek term. Forgive me for my pronunciation of the Greek term. It's a dikaios, dikaios, something like that. Like I said, I'm not a Greek scholar. But I do try. I do try to learn as much as I can from the original languages. All right. So this term just, dikaios, is Strong's number 1342. And this is what it says in the Strong's Greek lexicon. It says, equitable in character or act. Equitable meaning fair or unbiased. In character or act. Okay. So he's not leaning towards one way or another. It's all the same to him. It's all on the same playing field, all on the same ground. All right. He doesn't sway one way or another. He just has one expectation, let me put it that way. Okay. In the Online Bible, Greek lexicon, this is the first definition of that same word, just. Strong's number 1342 is righteous, observing divine laws. Okay? This is 1A, keeping the commands of God. All right, and right now you can think, oh, well, he was pretty, what do you say? He was pretty devout, he was pretty religious, right? Observing divine laws, keeping the commands of God. He was pretty religious. I mean, you can go on and on. Well, please remember John 5:39. Knowing they testify of Christ. He's observing divine laws, knowing they testify of Christ. He is keeping the commands of God. It's like a very low example, a very base example. It's like if a person has a relationship with another person, all right? Let's say it's a married couple, and I'll just use this, it's a husband and a wife, and let's say the husband has a picture of his wife in his wallet. He keeps that very picture. Why? Because he cherishes, I can't even say the word. He cherishes his spouse, his wife. Okay? Keeping the commands of God. Why? It's like a picture of Jesus. They testify of Jesus. This is the one I want to see. I hold it dear to me. I keep it. I want to look at it. I want to study it. I want to observe all I can out of this law, out of this testimony, because it births in my heart the expectation to behold the substance of which the scriptures testify. Let's go ahead and turn to that passage. And I know we've looked at it before. I've quoted it several times just here in this class. But it is John, excuse me, John chapter 5, verse 39. Here we go. Search the scriptures. I know you search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Nothing less. nothing less. Okay, so going on with that term just in the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, faultless, guiltless, approved of or acceptable to God. Wow. Approved of or acceptable to God. Wow. Think about this. The Lord created your soul for a purpose. If you are pursuing that purpose, if you are in that purpose, He says, yes, that's why I created the soul, for that very purpose. Their soul is found in that purpose. Of course, that's what I want. The appearing of my Son in that soul. There you have it. The approval of or the accept or acceptable of God. Yes. Christ is having His appearing in the soul. Where Christ is not having His appearing, well, it's another thing. Okay. another term. Let's go ahead and look at another term. Just and devout. That term, devout, is Strong's number 2126. And I think the Greek term is eulabes. Eulabes. Something like that. All right, so that term, devout, Strong's number 2126, in the Strong's Greek lexicon, it's taking well carefully. That is circumspect. Okay, well, there you go. In the Online Bible Greek lexicon, it is, one of the definitions is reverencing God. Reverencing God. Okay, so here's one who reveres God and who keeps His commandments and observes the divine laws with one purpose, that they birth in him the expectation to behold the substance of which they speak, the substance of which the Scriptures speak. And, of course, he beheld that substance that very day. He beheld the substance of God, and he says, this is it. This is the apex. This is why my soul was created. Now, let thy servant depart in peace. This is what I live for. This is what I live for, the beholding of your Christ, the beholding of the substance, the beholding of the Messiah, the substance. This is it. There's nothing less. There's nothing other than this. There's nothing more than this. This is it. Okay. Going on with some terms. Here's the term waiting for, right? Just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for, that's one Greek term. And Strong's number 4327, let's see if I can halfway pronounce it. Prosdekomenos. Prosdekomenos. Something like that. I'm going to work a little bit more on my Greek classes. Okay. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, that Greek term, is Strong's number 4327. Waiting for is Strong's number 4327. And this is what it says in the Strong's Greek lexicon. To await with confidence or patience. To await with confidence, right? This is not a vain hope. This is a confident hope. All other hopes are in vain, right? All other expectations are in vain. But this is a true hope. This is a true expectation, a confident expectation. Also, it's translated into the English as look for, look, wait for. Okay, this is the Online Bible Greek lexicon for that same term, 4327. To receive to one's self. Okay, yielding, to receive to one's self. To receive one coming from some place. To receive that very salvation, that very substance who is the embodiment of the salvation testified in the Scripture. To receive, okay? To accept, not to reject a thing offered. The promise of God, the substance, to accept and not to reject that which is offered of God. What did God offer? He offered nothing less than His Christ, nothing less than His Messiah. This is what He offers continually. And the Scriptures declare that very substance. If He, in the Old Testament Scriptures, offered a kingdom unto Israel, in reality, He offered His Christ, His Messiah, the substance of that kingdom, of that term. Let's use it that way, of that term. His Christ, His Messiah, He offered unto Israel. Okay? And another definition from the Online Bible Greek Lexicon for that term waiting for, which is Strong's number 4327, is to expect the fulfillment of promises. All the promises declared in the Scripture, all the promises declared in the Old Covenant, the fulfillment of them is the substance Himself. The substance Himself. Remember when Jesus said about the kingdom of God? Don't run after, if someone says, "Lo, the kingdom of God is over there or over there," He says, "Don't run after that. You know, don't go over there, don't go over here. Because the kingdom of God is within you." He was speaking to those as if they were born again. The kingdom of God is within you. To expect the fulfillment of promises. To expect the fulfillment of promises. All the promises are fulfilled in the person of Christ Himself. In the substance of Christ Himself. A kingdom, it's fulfilled in Christ Himself. He's the substance of that kingdom. Of love, of hope, of peace, He is the substance of that kingdom. Of that term. Okay? Just going a little further. Now, this is Luke chapter 2, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I just took a couple of terms, words out of this verse. This is the first one, have seen. This is Strong's number 1492. Where is it? 1492, have seen. Eidon, the Greek term. Eidon, something like that. And in the Strong's Greek lexicon, it's properly to see literally or figuratively. Behold. Translated into the English as behold, look on. Perceive, see. And I just pick out, in all these definitions and terms, I just pick out certain ones that are really, how should I say it? Just really declaring what I'm seeing in these passages, okay? There's many other terms there, and please do check them out for yourself, because I'm giving you all the information on. Please do check them out. and this is the Online Bible Greek Lexicon with the same term. And have seen, Strong's number 1492. And its definition is to see, to perceive with the eyes. Okay? Now, to perceive with the eyes, also properly to see literally or figuratively, right there, remember, till the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, till the cross, till Christ crucified, till Christ, up to the point where Christ was crucified, it was still all Old Covenant. Okay? In regard to the people. Christ Himself is the new covenant. All right. The substance appears. The new covenant has begun. But for the people, until that new covenant is in them, until that Christ, that very substance, is in their soul, then they are from afar, from without. Okay. A very, very, very good example of this. Just right with the same passage. Here is Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, and there is Simeon. There's baby Jesus, and Simeon's in another place. Here, you know, here's the baby, and here's Simeon. One is one place, the other one is the other place. Even when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee with His disciples, okay? And when He went in the Gospels that we read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels, Jesus was one place, his disciples were in another place, okay? They were not yet born again because Christ had not been crucified yet, all right? So, to perceive with the eyes from afar versus with the soul from within, okay? Now, because of the finished work of the cross, because of Christ crucified, Christ having died, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, right? Because of his finished work, now the one who receives, right, who receives that salvation unto themselves, who receives, who do not reject, but openly receives in their hearts, Christ is now dwelling within, the one who is born from above, born again, Christ is now within. But it is the same. There must be the perceiving with now no longer with the natural eye from without, but with the eye of the understanding. The eye of your heart, the eye of your soul being enlightened, that you may know. There's the order. To see is to know. Okay? Now for us who are born again, that very Christ must be revealed in our soul. The veil must be removed. We must behold him with the eye of our soul. Okay, from within. Once again, the indwelling Christ. If you are born again, Christ is in you. He is in your soul. You must behold this very Christ. All right. Another one of the definitions, 1B of the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, we're still there. To perceive by any of the senses. Okay? The natural faculties are with the natural man, but what of the one who is born again? Well, at new birth, the faculties for sight are there. They're all there, but until the Lord appears, we do not see, right? The day must dawn to go from night to darkness, from the evening to the morning for the first day. Okay? All right, a little further with those verses. To see, that is to turn the eyes. To turn the eyes. Remember? Excuse me. Those who were not born again had to turn their eyes. Hey, how about this one? Had to lift their eyes. But it was all from without, from afar. The natural faculties, the natural eyes. Okay? Now the one who is born again, it's not the turning of the natural eye, but it is the turning of the heart. Boom. But when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord and are changed into that same image from glory to glory. It all makes sense. All the scripture makes sense, okay? Another definition is to observe, to look at, to behold. All right? To experience any state or condition, to experience. Excuse me. What if there was a banquet table set in front of you and you could neither see, smell, taste, touch, or hear of what was going on in front of you? You would have no knowledge. You could not experience what is set before you, what has been set before you, where you have come to you. You could not experience, okay? To experience any state or condition, to see. When Christ appears in the soul, we experience the purpose for which our soul was created. As we continue in that very appearing, we continue experiencing the purpose for which our soul was created. The appearing of Christ. Okay? Also, it goes on to say to know, which we already covered that. To see is to know. If you do not see, you do not know. And I'm not sure if we looked at that or not, but it's found in Luke. I think it's Luke chapter 24. Let me just look real quick. Yeah. Luke chapter 24 with the road to Emmaus. Verse 13 till, I guess, 32 or somewhere abouts there. But there's the spiritual order is found there. To see is to know. If you do not see, you do not know. Okay, if we haven't covered that, we will be covering that in another class. Okay. Another term, actually our last term that we're going to look at real quick. Let me get my notes straight here. Is we're still there with Luke chapter 2, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We're just going to look at the term mine. It is Strong's number 3450. It's the Greek term mau. And in the Strong's Greek lexicon, it says, of me, I, and it's translated into the English, I, me, mine, mine own, and then my, okay? In the Online Bible Greek lexicon, it just says, I, me, my, of me. I guess the of me would be the same as the mine own. See, that's the thing, is that it is not good enough for you to be aware of a soul that is beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's not good enough. Your very soul must behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Your very soul, the purpose for which your soul was created. See, this is the purpose for the soul of man. This blanket covers all the soul of man. It is not good enough for you to know of one who is beholding this Christ. You yourself must behold this Christ. That's the purpose for which your soul was created. You must behold this Christ. You, with the eye of your understanding, with the eye of your heart, with the eye of your soul, you must, with your own heart, with your own soul, with your own eye of your understanding, behold this same Christ. You must. Okay? This Christ must have his appearing in your soul. That's why your soul was created. Anything less than the appearing of Christ would be to fall short of the purpose for which your soul was created. I'll just put it that way and leave it right there. Okay, let's look at another term. Yeah, I'm just thinking about Paul. Sorry, I can't go on. I'm thinking about Paul, who said, I wish myself accursed that Israel would come into this salvation, that Israel would know this salvation, that Israel would partake of this salvation. I know I'm probably misquoting that verse, but it's like he saw it wasn't enough for him. It wasn't enough for Paul himself to behold the salvation and have Christ revealed in him, and he continuing that revealing, and he continuing that appearing of Christ for which his soul is created. It was not enough that just he would experience this reality in his soul, in his heart. It wasn't enough for him. No. It's like, it's not just for me. It's like the lepers that were outside of Israel, you know, when they were besieging Israel. And there were the lepers that were outside, and God delivered all of them. You know, he routed the armies that were sieging Israel. And then the lepers say, you know, something like this. They say, well, if we stay here, we die. If we go into the city, we die for the famine. If we go to the enemy, well, they may take us as prisoners, or they may just kill us. So either way, we're going to die. So they go off, you know, to the enemy's camp, and the Lord routed the enemy, right? And then here's these lepers, and they start looting the camp. They're all the treasures, the food, everything. The enemy left everything, right? The enemy that was besieging Israel at that time, I think it's found in the Book of the Kings, that these lepers are like, yeah, we've got it. God has given us a victory. God has given us the deliverance. God has given us the salvation of Israel. God has given us, you know, all those types and shadows. But the point is, at one point, they came, you know, and said, it is not good that we keep this for ourselves. This is not just for us. This is for Israel. This is for the whole. It is not good to keep it for ourselves. It is not good to say this is mine and no one else's. This is for the whole of Israel. So and they go back and they proclaim the good news. They declare the good news and all Israel partakes thereof. Yes, they do. They do. You can find it in the Kings. It would take me a while to search it out to find it. But a great deliverance was that day that the Lord brought through a bunch of lepers. Praise God. Praise God. But this purpose for our soul, for the soul of man, is not for individual ones. It is for the soul of man across the board. See, that's why it's no different. It's the same purpose, the same good news, the same gospel for one who is born again as for one who is not born again. There's still the declaring of Christ. There's still the declaring of the testimony of Jesus Christ, that the heart would turn and behold that very Christ. Behold that very substance of which the Scriptures testify. There is, like Simeon, there was no bias. Oh, just these and not these. No, no, no. For all. For all. For all. For all man. For all. For the soul of man. For who, listen to this, for whosoever will. For whosoever will. Okay. All right. Let me go on a little bit more. Salvation, the next term, salvation is Strong's number 4992. The Greek term is soterion. Forgive me once again for my pronunciation. Soterion. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, that term, salvation, 4992, is basically translated into the English term, salvation. In the Online Bible Greek Lexicon, 4992 is saving, bringing salvation. He, listen to this, he who embodies this salvation. Don't you love that? This embodiment of this salvation, the substance of this salvation, Christ Himself. The verse, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. When you spake of salvation, this is the embodiment of that which you spake. When you testified of salvation, this is the substance of which you spake. It's great. Isn't it? Yeah. Praise God. It is good. It's awesome. Okay. The last verse, and we're running out of time here. The last verse is Luke chapter 2, verse 38. This is when with Anna. Okay. Let me look for it. Is verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Just real quick, I didn't write the definition down. I just kind of took a real quick sneak peek at it. That spake is Strong's number 2980. It's the Greek term elalei. And it basically means preach. Yeah, preach. She preached him. Anna preached him. Anna preached, listen to this, the Christ. Anna preached the substance to all them that, once again, looked for. There's the term. Looked for. It's, we already covered it, Strong's number 4327. Also the same term where it says that of Simeon in verse 25, who was a devout and just man waiting for, looking for. It's the same Greek term. It's the same Greek term. Strong's number 4227. Pros de komenois. Pros de komenois. Something like that. Something close to it. We already looked at this term. 43:27. Let me see if I can go back there real quick and find it. There he is. To await with confidence or patience, to accept, not to reject a thing offered, to expect the fulfillment of promises, and going on and going on. This is what Anna preached. This is what Anna declared. This is what Anna spake to them that were in expectation, who also were in expectation, who were waiting for, who were looking for the substance, the embodiment of the terms that the Scripture testified of. Okay? That's probably as far as we're going to get to in this class. And we'll be going over some more in our next classes. In fact, we'll continue on with this sheet of notes, the sheet of notes that I have right here. But this is it. The testimony births in our heart an expectation, the expectation to behold the substance of which the Scriptures testify. Okay? They're so necessary. The Scriptures are not the substance, but they testify of the substance. That is why they are so precious to us, because they testify of the very substance that Christ is. The Scriptures do this. This is why they are so important to us, the Scriptures, because they are the testimony of Jesus Christ. God testifies of His Christ in these Scriptures. So very important to search the Scriptures. Not because in them we think we're going to find something in and of themselves. No. We search the Scriptures because they have one object in view. There's one testimony in the Scripture, and that's Christ. It's the Messiah. That's it. This is why we search the Scriptures, that we may see, that searching the Scriptures, that we may see the testimony of Christ Himself. In seeing that testimony of Christ, like the very first, one of the very first examples in this class that I said, like a Lamb of God, in seeing that testifies of the true Lamb, that in our hearts it would birth the expectation, Father, let me behold Your true Lamb. Father, cause my heart to turn, that the veil would be removed, that I would behold the Christ of God, who is the substance of this Lamb. Amen? All right, so I just hope this class has been a blessing, and may the Lord continually deal with our hearts and testify the glorious substance of the Scripture. Testify His Christ in our hearts, that we would not be rebellious or rejecting of His testimony, but that we would full and wholeheartedly accept and receive, that our hearts would turn to behold Him. Amen. Amen.